Well, you have to give them credit for a businesslike beginning, in spite of a state Senate that's divided right down the middle, with the Republicans and Democrats holding 15 seats apiece. Usually, such a split would be a recipe for paralysis and endless wrangling over which party gets to choose the Senate leader. 32 years ago, the last time the Senate was evenly split, legislation was paralyzed for nearly a month before the issue was settled in bitterness and rancor. It poisoned the well for the whole session. I know. I was there. Such an outcome was bad then, but it would have been disastrous this year because the governor and the legislature will have to use a lot of statecraft to find a way to deal with a $2 billion budget shortfall. But unlike the partisan food fight of 1971, this year the senators worked out a compromise on their very first day of business. Peter Courtney, a Salem Democrat, was elected president, and Southern Oregon's Lynn Hannon was made Senate President pro tem, the number two position. Committee chairmanships were divided between the two parties. The chairmanship of the all-important Budget Committee was given to a freshman Democratic senator from Canby, which bothers some Democrats who feel he'll be too inexperienced to deal with a couple of his Republican subcommittee chairs. But that would be a minor problem compared to the many ways this power-sharing arrangement could unravel. For one thing, Courtney and Hannon must agree on which committees to assign various bills. If they cannot do so, the bills cannot be legislated, and the matter would go to the Senate Rules Committee, which is evenly divided and co-chaired by the Democratic and Republican caucus leaders. If it gets to that point, dear listener, we will be in gridlock. But that's speculation. The point is, the senators have put their best foot forward, at least for now. As for Governor Ted Kulongowski, he's making music to please all but the most diehard Republicans. Every one of his major proposals could have come from the Republican Party playbook. Of course, Kulongowski has few other choices, but he also seems to think that if he can make peace with Republicans on Republican issues now, Republicans will make peace with him later on reforming the tax system and making adequate investments in programs like education again. Kulongowski could be right. Then again, he could be wrong, in which case he would become the Republican Party's pet Democratic governor. This is Les O'Coin.